The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our epistle lesson for the day from 2 Peter, especially where Peter says we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for when He received honor and glory from God the Father and the voice was borne by Him of the majestic glory, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We heard this very voice born from heaven, and we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You walk into a kitchen that is filled with the aroma of a pot of chili or soup on the stove. Supper is still hours away. But no one's looking, so you grab a spoon and dip it into the pot. After blowing off that steam, you place it into your mouth. That taste lingers in your mouth for a while, and then in your mind until the supper finally arrives. You plan the day just right. You have time to stop in at the local winery and look around just a little. Finally, you find a bottle that's just perfect, you think, to your taste. And so you ask the worker, and they fill up a small glass for you, just enough for one taste. You drink it in, and the flavors seem to dance on your tongue. Again, the memory of that one taste makes you joyfully await that day when you will open the cork on the bottle that you will buy. You add the butter, you add the eggs, the flour, the sugar, and yes, the chocolate chips. You stir it all together, the oven preheats, and you place the dough upon the cookie sheet. Oh, sure, you know that just a few minutes, they'll be done. And yes, you've been warned about all the dangers of raw eggs, but you just can't help it. You pop a small ball of that sugary goodness in your mouth. Once again, that taste only leaves you waiting for those moments to pass until the cookies are done and you can have more. Yet, you see, four tastes have a way of leaving one wanting more. They have a way of reminding us of the goodness of what is coming. They have a way of getting us through, so to speak, until the full feast is served. Today in our epistle lesson, we find Peter defending a claim that he and the apostles had been making, namely that the Lord Jesus would return in glory and in power. He reminded his readers that the apostles' belief in Jesus' return was not based on some clever story that they had made up behind closed doors, but was based on the reality which they had experienced. After all, those apostles had seen Jesus in His glory. They had been there on the mount when Moses and Elijah showed up to witness to the glory of Jesus Christ. They had heard with their own ears as the voice came from heaven to reveal again that Jesus was the only Son of God. Yes, they had seen Jesus in His glory. Oh, most of the world would only see Jesus suffer and die. But the apostles knew better. They had seen His glory with their own eyes on the Mount of Transfiguration. And therefore, they believed that His promise of a glorious return was not a good story, but totally based in fact. To those that had seen Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was not a question of if, only when. You and I, of course, did not stand upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And so we don't have quite the same advantage that those apostles had of knowing of the glory of Christ in that direct way. But we do have the account which we ponder today. And as we ponder that account, no doubt it does assure us of the glory that is to come when Jesus returns. If we ponder in our minds what Jesus must have looked like on that mount when his full glory was exposed, our minds get a foretaste of what is to come, of what we will see on that last day when our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Yes, Jesus' return and his coming again, or his coming the first time and his coming the last time, is tied together by this event on the Mount of Transfiguration. It provides the hint to know that after suffering will come glory. Yes, pondering the Transfiguration for us today, it's sort of like taking that spoon and dipping it into that chili, getting a taste of what is to come. Peter, of course, knew that those who would be reading his letter, were not on the Mount of Transfiguration. And while he did not hesitate to call their attention to it, he also told them that there was another way that they could be assured of Jesus' glorious return. In fact, he said it was the most certain thing he had and the most certain thing that his readers would have as well, namely the Word of God found written in the Scriptures. You see, when you and I open the Word of God in our home, or when we study it in various settings, or even when we gather here in church to hear it proclaimed, God has promised through that Word to bring light into a dark world. He has promised to bring taste into our bland existence. Why do you and I ultimately know that Jesus will return and that when he does, he will come in glory? We believe it because the Spirit has convinced us in our hearts that those words that we read in the Bible are not simply words written by men, but rather words that were given by the Holy Spirit. And so each time that we drink in those promises that we find in the Word, it's sort of like that wine hitting our tongue, making us all the more anxious for that day when the skies will rip open and Jesus will return to serve the well-aged wine of salvation. And today God blesses us even more so. For not only do we have the pondering of the Transfiguration to enlighten our darkness, not only do we have the proclamation of the Word, but we have yet another foretaste of glory that God gives to us. For you see, it was after Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper the first time with the disciples on Maundy Thursday that he told them he would not celebrate it again until he was in the kingdom of his Father, on that day when he returned. Yes, this meal that we are blessed to receive today at the altar is a foretaste once again of the glory that is to come. Today we get to stand in the presence of Jesus for a moment. Then it will be for an eternity. And today as we take in his body and his blood again, it's sort of like that ball of sugary goodness placed into our mouth. It makes us all the more desire the great heavenly feast that will one day be served. Oh, God could have simply told us that dinner would eventually be served and left it at that. But God knows that often his children get weary in the waiting. And so today he encourages us to dip our spoon in deep, to let the wine dance on our tongues for a while, to enjoy the sugary goodness of the foretaste of glory that he serves to us today. He invites us to truly ponder what it must have been like to stand on the Mount of Transfiguration. He invites us to listen as he brings us into contact with his life-giving Word. And he invites us to feast at his altar, to be assured of his presence. And God not only will give out these foretastes of glory today, but it is rather something that he wishes to give to us every day. Yes, God wants us to have these small foretastes of glory each day, so that the taste of it would be on our tongues always, so that it might fill our minds with a desire for Jesus' glorious return. And yet we must admit that all too often, in all of our busyness and hurrying around, we many times miss chances that we have to have such a foretaste of glory. Sometimes our minds are so scattered that we don't ponder the things that we hear in worship long enough that they might get the taste in our mouth. Many times we forget to let the Word of God be opened in our homes in order that it might enlighten our hearts. Sometimes standing at the Lord's altar even can become in our minds just something that we are supposed to do or something that simply makes service a little longer. And other times we must admit that the problem is not just with our busyness, but that our mouths are already so full of other tastes that when we get a taste of glory, we hardly even recognize it. Many times we let our taste buds become so saturated with taste for things like greed and lust, partying or anger, that these foretastes cannot even penetrate down to our taste buds. The foretastes of glory are simply ingested, but never savored. Dear Christian friends, let us today spit out all of those foreign tastes from our mouths. Let us admit those times when we have passed by the foretaste of glory that God wishes to give to us. Let us confess our sins. For God has promised that if we will, He will indeed remove every last taste that is foreign to the life with God from our mouths. He will do so thanks to the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus. And then He has promised that He will invite us again to taste those things that He will give us in fullness on the day when His Son returns in glory. So today, dip in your spoon. Drink in the wine. Enjoy the sugary goodness. Take pleasure in the foretaste of glory that God gives to you this day. Amen.